we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Our starting line is Birmingham, England, where the World Indoor Athletic Championships are getting underway on this Thursday evening. There will be finals in the men's and women's high jump, as well as the women's 3,000 meters race. In the women's 3,000 meters, Ethiopia's Genzeba Dibaba is bidding for her third world indoor title in the event and fourth world indoor title overall. Genzeba got the gold in the women's 1,500 meters at the 2012 World Indoor Championships in Istanbul, Turkey, and she's won gold in the 3,000 meters at the past two World Indoor Championships, Sopot, Poland in 2014, and Portland, Oregon, USA in 2016. Genzeba should receive a strong challenge in the race from Kenya's Helen Obiri, who won the World Indoor title in the event in 2012 and is the reigning women's world champion outdoors at 5,000 meters. The World Indoor Athletic Championships will continue through Sunday, and we'll have coverage from Birmingham from the energetic Andy Edwards. Turning to tennis, Swiss star Roger Federer is earning more accolades. And ready to serve up more details is my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. I'd like to begin with this Twitter headline from BBC Sport. Time for Roger Federer to make some more room in the trophy cabinet after the Laureus Awards. And Federer needs to make room for not one, but two prestigious trophies, World Sportsman of the Year and Comeback of the Year. Twitter followers offered up big congratulations for Roger Federer. This tweeter wrote, "Awesome to see Roger's impressive achievements being rewarded with two awards. What he is doing at this stage of his career is truly out of this world. He is a role model for all athletes. Tennis and sport in general are blessed to have him as an ambassador." Another felt his Comeback of the Year award was well-deserved and gave his on-court rival Rafael Nadal a nice nod as well. He wrote, "2017 will go down as the year where the world witnessed the mother of all comebacks in men's tennis. Reason? Roger and Rafa won two slams each. Rafa won in Paris for an astonishing 10th time, and a few weeks later, Roger won in the UK for the 8th time. Simply amazing." According to their Twitter page, Laureus not only celebrates great athletic achievements, but they are also dedicated to changing the lives of disadvantaged children through sport. Upon accepting his award for World Sportsman of the Year, Roger Federer said Laureus's mission inspires the work he does through the Roger Federer Foundation.
"I'd like to thank now the Academy. You guys are incredible athletes. I'm very humbled to stand up here today and stand in front of you and receive these awards voted by you guys. I really appreciate that. The Laureus Foundation, you guys do amazing work. Really, you do. I have a foundation of my own, and I definitely get inspired very much and motivated by what you guys do. And maybe one day I'll be remembered for my philanthropic work rather than my tennis work. So everybody have a wonderful evening. This means the world to me. Thank you so, so much."
Roger Federer posted pictures from the Laureus Awards ceremony that was held in February in Monaco. He's holding one of his trophies with the caption, "Great night celebrating sports at the Laureus Awards." Well, it's already been a big year for the 36-year-old, and it's only March. You probably remember he was just given the distinguished honor of being the oldest world number one in tennis history. And now he's being honored with two achievement awards. As one tweeter put it, "Congratulations, greatest of all time. What's next, Federer?" Indeed. We go from the great heights of Roger Federer to perhaps even greater heights for Chris Long, Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl champ. After winning the coveted Super Bowl ring, the Eagles' defensive end climbed Africa's highest peak, Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, for a third time. Long was joined by 11 current and former NFL players and U.S. military veterans. On Instagram, Chris Long posted a Conquering Killy class picture on top of the mountain with the caption that says, in part, "What a group. What an amazing and emotional week. Delivering a basic human need as a team and hoping to inspire, all the while having fun doing something challenging. Big week for waterboys.org. One follower responded, "You guys are awesome. I said it before and I will continually say it. There never was such a team with so much love for each other and a sense of decency to so many unfortunate people." Chris also posted a picture of himself standing at the peak of Mount Kilimanjaro wearing a dog mask and, of course, with a banner that says, "Mountain home of a member of the world champion Philadelphia Eagles," and the caption, "High altitude dog, just for Philly." The charity Water Boys is an organization devoted to bringing clean, accessible water to rural communities in East Africa, and this year's class aims to raise $150,000 to fund two new wells in Tanzania. It's really nice to see athletes doing good things. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
World Boxing Council heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder puts his title belt on the line Saturday night in New York City, where he takes on the Cuban Luis King Kong Ortiz. Now, Ortiz, I remember that name, Nnamdi. I thought he was going to fight Wilder a few years ago, but there were issues with drugs. Say King Kong beats Wilder. What happens if he fails a drug test?
Well, Sonny, if he beats Wilder and he fails the drug test, that means the title is vacant and we'll have to go back to the drawing board to pick up the next two available contenders, because this is not the first time this has happened in the heavyweight division. The heavyweight fighters are known to juice a lot, and this guy's been busted, and he said he's clean right now. But if he fails the drug test after the fight, and if he wins the fight, the title will be declared vacant.
Nnamdi, how do you size up this Wilder-Ortiz matchup?
Wilder is an explosive power puncher. He can punch, and at 6'7", he's tall. Ortiz is 6'4", is a Cuban southpaw. But it depends on what shape Ortiz comes in. But, Sonny, this is a heavyweight fight. The first man to land clean will dictate the fight. Both guys have never been buzzed. Both guys have never been wobbled or been on the floor. First man to land a clean shot will take the fight. And I think if Ortiz can survive in the later rounds and Wilder cannot take him out in less than five rounds, Wilder will be exposed come Saturday night at Barclays Arena in New York City.
What have the ticket sales been like for Saturday night?
Sonny, the All-American heavyweight cannot fill the arena. Mind you, this arena holds 18,000, but for boxing, they break it down to 12,000. They're doing what we call ticket discount. You get a discount to buy more tickets. So it's not like he's doing 80,000, 90,000 like AJ does in the UK. If you cannot sell 12,000 arena, I mean, where's your leverage rate to negotiate for any big fight?
What about the broadcasting rights for Wilder-Ortiz?
Wilder-Ortiz will be shown on Showtime. Showtime has an exclusive deal with Deontay Wilder. That's why we get to see all his fights on Showtime. So it's going to be a good one. We look for a good fight Saturday night.
At the end of March, Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker, world heavyweight title unification fight in Cardiff, Wales. What's shaping up there, Nnamdi?
Well, Joseph Parker is training right here in Las Vegas, and there's been a lot of trash talk from Joseph Parker. And in the fight game, when a man that's not used to trash talk starts suddenly doing what we call trash talk, you start wondering about, is he dealing with fear? Is he dealing with this big arena that's going to be filled with 80,000 people, will he freeze? So a guy that's not used to trash talk, and now we've seen trash talk talking about, I will knock out Anthony Joshua, I will box him, I will do movement. It's like throwing your playbook out there. You're talking about doing a whole lot of movement and all that. Well, all Anthony Joshua needs to do now is go back into the training camp and work on cutting out the ring. Have Parker's back to the ropes. And if he cuts out the ring and stays in the body, I think it would be an explosive night.
Joseph Parker training in Las Vegas. What about Anthony Joshua? Where is he training, Namdi?
Joshua is in Sheffield training, and everything is going well. Homeboy is not making any noise, and he believes he can pick up the third belt. And he just has to make a statement with this fight, because two heavyweights going for three belts, which is very rare. And if Parker decides to move or do the hand speed or work the body, mind you, both men fought the same guy, Carlos Takam. Carlos Takam gave Joseph Parker a very rough 12-round fight. And you know what Anthony Joshua did to Carlos Takam after he figured him out? He stopped him. So we will see a very interesting fight come fight night, March 31st.
Let's look ahead to early May, Namdi. May 5th, that will be the Canelo Triple G rematch. What's the latest with that fight?
Well, it's been confirmed now. T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. And I remember I told you in the past, we don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo in New York City, Madison Square Garden.
It's got to be Vegas.
Cinco de Mayo belongs to Las Vegas with all the casinos, you know. Also, remember, the last fight was 22,000 people came into T-Mobile Arena. The largest crowd to see an indoor boxing match in Las Vegas. So the crowd will be there. This fight belongs in Las Vegas. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. The Mexicans will show up in huge number, and it will be an exciting fight.
Controversy over that first fight, Namdi, with that draw. Some thought the Triple G won. Do you get the sense the buzz is the same for the rematch?
Not really, Sonny, because, you know, they're only doing one press conference, which they did in Los Angeles on Tuesday night. When you do press conference around the city, you do your New York City, you do Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, D.C., you're building up the big buzz and hype. The last fight was a big disappointment, Sonny, remember? There was no drama, there was no knockdown, there was no blood, you know. Fight fans would be a little wheezy going in to shell out more money to see this fight, because they believe Canelo will not stand and go toe-to-toe again with Triple G. If he decides to not engage Triple G, we're going to end up seeing another boring fight. So will you put up $70 to see a boring fight? That's a big question we will find out come May 5th.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao sure sounds like he's had a falling out with his longtime trainer Freddie Roach. Catch us up on that, Namdi.
Well, Sonny, remember, this fight is going to happen April 14th at the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas, 6 weeks away. Freddie Roach has been calling Manny Pacquiao. He's called him six times, and Manny Pacquiao is yet to take his call. In Hollywood, when they tell you, don't call us, we will call you, you know the jig is up.
So don't wait by that phone.
No, don't call us, we will call you. That means, please, make other plans.
Well, I mean, Freddie's got this great reputation, though, Namdi, in the Boxing Hall of Fame. Was it something personal, maybe, between the two?
Go back and look at the last fight in Australia against Jeff Horn. Freddie Roach did not do anything in the corner. Remember when we talk about the fight game, a fighter can lose a fight in the corner. Though you have people in the corner, but if the people in the corner, they freeze, they don't know what to say to change the fighter, to change the fight, then the fighter will lose the fight. And that's exactly what happened in Australia. Though people believe Manny Pacquiao won the fight, but the corner was asleep, you know. This is a world-class Hall of Fame trainer who dropped the ball on his prize fighter. He's made tons of money with Manny Pacquiao. Freddie Roach is a good friend of mine, but it's time for him to just step away because he's dealing with health issues. He cannot perform like he used to perform in the past. And I think Manny Pacquiao has decided to make this move and bring in a new trainer.
Who is this new trainer?
Well, this new trainer is a Filipino by name of Buboy Fernandez, his best friend and corner man, more like an entourage, you know. So you ask me, what will he bring to the corner? He may not bring anything, and you may end up finding Manny Pacquiao getting smashed by Mike Alvarado come April 14th. So Buboy is not a trainer that's well-respected. So Manny Pacquiao might find himself in a really rough fight, and Buboy may not be able to give him any advice, and Manny will be on his own, and he will end up being knocked out.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta. And we'll hear more hard-hitting boxing commentary from Namdi during Friday's show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a look back at some of the highlights from the recent Winter Olympics in South Korea. And Jim begins and ends his Olympic report with an American skier.
The Pyeongchang Winter Olympics are over, and with it the end of several Olympic careers, like four-time Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn, who won a bronze medal for her third-place performance in the women's downhill race.
A bronze medal honestly does feel like gold to me, so it's been an amazing Olympics and I think a great way to close out my career in the Olympics.
Vonn's overall Olympic winnings include one gold and two bronze. The 33-year-old said her focus is now on next season and breaking Ingemar Stenmark's Alpine World Cup wins record. Vonn needs six more World Cup wins to break Stenmark's milestone of 86. Likely to compete again is American Michaela Schifrin, who now has two gold medals in two Olympic appearances.
Winning, that was one of the most emotional moments of my career. Definitely one of the most emotional moments that I've shown. And then kind of fatigue in the slalom race, and there was definitely a lot of nerves. I was feeling the pressure that day, but then walking away from my two best events thinking it was still incredible and I wouldn't change it for the world.
The American Alpine star competed in only three events in Pyeongchang after the weather spoiled her pre-Olympic bid for a record-breaking five medals in five events. Still, Schifrin said she was satisfied with gold in the giant slalom and silver in the Alpine combined.
Whether you walk away with a medal or not, there's always something to be gained.
Ilana Myers-Taylor became the most decorated U.S. Olympic bobsled athlete with three career medals. She felt the silver medal she got at the Sochi Games in 2014 represented failure. In Pyeongchang, winning silver was sweet.
These 4 years after Sochi were more difficult than I could have ever imagined, and this is just the icing on the cake. It's been such an amazing journey, and to come out with a medal, elated.
Taylor gave her best effort over four runs down the twisting, icy track.
Every curve, I was fighting, and I was trying to make sure we were going to have the performance that we were capable of, and I really believe we did. And so when I got down, I was celebrating. I was so happy. It was just the most incredible feeling.
For teammate Lauren Gibbs, winning her first Olympic medal capped a great personal story.
To be able to start a sport at 30 and then 4 years later walk away with an Olympic medal, wow. It's incredible.
Two Russians failed drug tests at the Pyeongchang Olympics and accepted disqualification. Russia was banned from the Olympics because of widespread doping at the 2014 Sochi Games. International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach said the Olympics were not diminished despite the two Russians failing drug tests.
I don't think, quite frankly, that these Olympic Winter Games there have been tainted by the Russian affair because we had no Russian team here.
Bach said the two cases did not reflect the same situation 4 years ago.
There is no indication whatsoever for a systemic or systematic doping affair here.
Speaking at the final press conference of the Pyeongchang Winter Olympic Games, Bach said the fight against doping will never be over.
As long as you have human beings in competition with each other, you will have some who try to cheat.
Thank you. The memories of competition viewed by millions around the world will remain for years, and for several athletes, just representing their nation in Pyeongchang has been an Olympic victory.
I definitely feel very proud and happy, given the opportunity to be here representing Malaysia at the very first Winter Olympics for us. And it definitely brings a lot of memories to me, and it will stay in my heart forever.
Julian Yi competed for Malaysia in men's figure skating.
There's some part of me that's a little bit disappointed that I did not make the free skate, but I think overall I was quite happy to get a personal best score, so I can be satisfied.
And he hopes his Olympic appearance will inspire others from Malaysia to compete in the future.
I do hope that this will open up the sport more in Malaysia to get more exposure and to get more athletes joining figure skating and representing the country.
Singapore also sent its first athlete to a Winter Olympics, short track speed skater Cheyenne Goh, who learned from her event.
If I do qualify again, probably be less scary, but hopefully I would have like improved by then, I guess, be more competitive.
She's ready to hit the ice again.
I'm definitely like really excited to race again.
Pakistan doubled the size of its Winter Olympic athletes this year, as two of its skiers were in the snow. 22-year-old Mohammad Karam was the sole athlete from Pakistan at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. But this year, he's accompanied by his 26-year-old nephew, Syed Human.
Yes, definitely. It feels very good. Before, I was alone, and now, God willing, we have a team. He supports me, and I support him, so it's a really good experience.
Shahid Nadeem, the Secretary General of Pakistan Ski Federation, believes Pakistan has a lot of potential for winter sport.
Pakistan is blessed with some of the world's highest mountains, like the K2, which is the second highest in the world, and it stands at 8,611 meters high. So we have a lot of potential for the winter sports.
Norway topped the final standings in Pyeongchang with a total of 39 medals, including 14 gold, 14 silver, and 11 bronze. Germany was second with 14 gold and 31 overall medals. Canada collected 11 gold and 29 total. The United States was next with 9 golds and 23 overall. Host South Korea was one of four nations with 5 gold medals. 2022 Winter Olympics host China had 1 gold among its 9 total. But American Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn says the games are much more than medals.
The Olympics are a unifying event, one that has profound impact on the entire world. And so to quantify it in how many medals you have is not appropriate and doesn't respect the athletes and what they've put in to be in these games.
That's Olympic skier Lindsey Vonn of the USA. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that gold medal winning Olympic report. In National Basketball Association news, the Houston Rockets beat the host Los Angeles Clippers Wednesday night 105-92 for their 14th consecutive victory. All-star guard James Harden, still sporting my favorite beard in basketball, he scored 25 points for the Rockets. Here in Washington, the Voice of America's Swahili service chief, Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, was in attendance as the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors beat my beloved Washington Wizards 109-101. Kevin Durant scored 32 points for the Warriors, while star guard Stephen Curry added 25 points. The Warriors have a record of 48 wins and 14 losses, putting them one half game behind the Rockets for the best record in the NBA. In Texas, the Oklahoma City Thunder edged the host Dallas Mavericks 111-110 in overtime. Russell Westbrook, the NBA's reigning most valuable player, scored 30 points for the Thunder. Westbrook converted a go-ahead three-point play in the final minute of overtime to help lead the Thunder to victory. Off the court, the Mavericks made a big move this week. The Mavericks introduced Cynthia Marshall, an African-American woman, as the team's new chief executive officer. Mavericks owner Mark Cuban recruited Marshall in the wake of last week's investigative story by Sports Illustrated magazine that revealed a series of harassment allegations against some of the Dallas team members. Marshall is quoted as saying she was disgusted by Sports Illustrated's story and she hopes to make the Mavericks a model NBA franchise. And that wraps up the March 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojciech Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Nigeria's democratic political process got a boost recently with help provided by the United States. U.S. Ambassador to Nigeria Stuart Symington joined more than 40 prominent Nigerian politicians and International Republican Institute, or IRI, President Daniel Twining to launch a new activity supported by the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, to help political parties adopt better governance practices and improve the quality of political discourse. Implemented for USAID by IRI and Search for Common Ground, the three-year, $5.5 million responsive political party program will help the major national political parties in Nigeria improve responsiveness to their constituents. It will also contribute to creating peaceful participation ahead of the upcoming elections. The activity promises to help parties contesting the upcoming elections to become more representative of the citizenry and improve the oversight of government programs. It also aims to increase the frequency and intensity of political party interactions with their constituents, improve communication among party officials, candidates, and office holders at all levels, and boost the participation of marginalized groups in political processes and within the parties themselves. The Responsive Political Party Program will also help spread the message of peace and nonviolence through the electoral process, determine early warning signs of electoral violence, and formulate strategies to mitigate potential violence through conflict assessment in conjunction with political parties and civil society organizations. Working with IRI on this project, our parties will be stronger and more efficient, vibrant and responsive to the yearnings of Nigerians, Deputy Senate President Ike Ekweremadu remarked. I assure you of the cooperation of the National Assembly towards the actualization of this noble initiative. If you seek to be followed, tell the story not only of what is wrong, but what you would do right for the future, Ambassador Symington told the assembled politicians. And the greatest right you can do is to inspire your members to come together and make Nigeria better.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Mpoga. Join me for VOA's discussion program, Reporters Roundtable, every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas and take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. So please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.